Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be able to come in and gather in the middle of the week here, to be able to sing songs to lift our hearts, to be able to look into your word, to be strengthened and encouraged and helped. I pray as we look into your word that you will quicken it by your spirit so that the words that are said and the words that are heard will be anointed by your spirit for our good and for our edification. Help us, we pray, to make the word alive in our life, not just words we hear and give mental assent, but alive in our life, that we might be witnesses to your great salvation in the day and time that we're in. Help us together, I pray, in Jesus' name and amen. I'm meditating yesterday evening and again off and on today while I'm just trying to work and hustle, meditating off and on the thoughts for the night. And one of the big thoughts I had, 2020 has been an interesting year. Maybe not for all the reasons we had hoped for, but it certainly has been not dull and mundane. And the events in our society and world are simply the events that are taking place in your own personal life. It's very easy to get frustrated and angry. That's one of the things, we're going to talk about that tonight, because that's one of the things that really stood out to me. It's easy to become angry at what's going on around us, what's going on with us. Amen? It's not just anger at other people. We do that occasionally. I think the bigger danger, we get angry at life. We don't even know what we know why we're angry, kind of, but we don't know what. And if we're not careful, that can cause us to have, we'd never admit to it, at least most people wouldn't, but almost an anger towards God for what's been allowed. And if you start thinking that way, you're starting down a path of spiritual ruin, because you can't believe God isn't good. Unless we keep in mind that God is love, God is good, God is fair, God is holy, we won't really trust Him and love Him and maintain our faith and confidence in Him. Amen? And if we lose that, we've lost the heart of Christianity. I want to talk to us tonight. Anger is not the friend of your Christian walk or your Christian witness. Amen? Anger is a natural response to some things that go on in your life, some things you see, but it always is not a friend of your Christian walk or your Christian witness. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Anger is always a danger zone for a Christian. Amen? Yet it's something that we're prone to often. It's a natural emotional response to certain events. And it's the right response sometimes, amen, to events that's going on. Anger, if someone is mistreating another, it should cause anger to arise in you, right? But we always have to have a caution, because a lot of times our anger leads us to respond to it in ways that are not what they ought to be. As Christians, we're to bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is, as Galatians tells us, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This, you know, we are to be different. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, when I started talking about the Kingdom Sunday, as citizens of the Kingdom of God, there is a certain way we are expected to behave ourselves. Amen? There's attitudes that are supposed to typify us. There's actions that are supposed to typify us. In fact, really, if you want to take it there, the Kingdom of God and its ultimate fulfillment is heaven. We all have a general idea how we ought to behave in heaven, don't we? Well, I mean, what we expect people to behave in heaven, right? Well, that ought to be the expectation here on earth for citizens of the Kingdom of God. Amen? Anger, you read that list of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Anger usually doesn't play a huge role in producing those fruits of the Spirit. Anger comes from a lot of different places, right? It isn't just that simple. Anger comes from correct indignation at wrong. We ought to respond when things are not fair and things are not wrong. There's a natural indignation and anger that comes up in us. And that is right because it is the same way God feels about the things that are wrong and sin. Amen? But also, maybe to a bigger extent, anger comes from unresolved hurts, comes from frustrations and disappointments and bitterness, comes from losses and fears of loss. Amen? We have to deal with those. I've repeated this a few times, I know. But there's two kinds of things to be dealt with in life. Two kinds of things. When you're sorting the mail, events in your life, it goes in one of two boxes. First box is things you can do something about. And the second box is things you cannot do something about. A lot of our anger comes from the second box, and that don't belong to us. It's like you're going through a mailbox, and you're sorting out what mail is yours and what mail is not yours. It's not yours if you can't do something about it. Amen? Well, it's not. We're going to talk about that. You just give those to God. Amen? It'll save us a lot of frustration and a lot of spent emotional energy. Amen? Dealing with anger begins with correctly identifying which category it falls in. Can you do anything about it? Okay? Then, what should you do as one who wants to please God? If you can do something about it, the next question is, what should you do as one who wants to please God? Well, then do it. Amen? Do it. If you know you need to go make something right with somebody, go do it. If you know you need to make amends, hey, if you can resolve the conflict, resolve it, right? As much as it lieth within you, live peaceably with all. Romans 12:17. Repay no one evil for evil, but get thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Amen? We are to do what we know to do. Now, if we're simmering and holding bitterness and holding anger and we ain't taking care of things we need to take care of, that's all on us. Amen? But if you've done what is right to do, then give it to God. It's not yours anymore because once you've done everything you can do, it falls in the category, I can't do anything about it. Amen? And the things that you can't do anything about belong to God, not to you. Listen, I don't know if anybody actually tries to do that. I'm trying. But I'm going to tell you what, it's not easy. But secondly, if you're able to do that, you're going to live a lot happier life, a lot less emotionally spent if you actually do that. Most people are wearing themselves out and tearing themselves up over things they can't do nothing about. It's not yours. We have a God. We're not in this by ourselves, right? Hey, if there was no God, then yeah, it's all on you. But we have a God. It's not ours. If we truly can't do anything about it, if we truly done everything we could do, then it goes in the category, it's not ours anymore, it belongs to God. So we need to give it to Him. Amen? Amen. I know sometimes we're angry at people, but as I said before, a lot of times we're just angry at life. What's happened, the reverses we've had, the things that didn't go the way we wish they'd go. This often falls in the category of things we can't do anything about. But I'm telling you, this is where most people are simmering with anger and discouragement and leading to bitterness with things they have no business hanging on to. It's often the lingering bitterness of losses, of struggles, of disappointments that keeps us simmering in suppressed anger. Amen? Left alone, that simmering anger will flare from time to time, causing embarrassment and the wounding of your Christian witness, but it'll also devolve slowly but surely into discouragement and depression because you're angry about things you can't do nothing about. It is very stressful. Amen? First of all, learn to leave the past with God. The past is done. It's over. You can't relive it. Amen? You can't. Don't rehearse it. Don't replay it in your mind. Don't go back. Don't live it again. Amen? Either your own failures or somebody else's failures. Get on with life. Live life forward. Don't nurse the wound. Don't get into this me-focused self-pity. We all visit there, but get out of there quickly if you want to live a happy life. Amen? If you want to get beyond the anger that drags us down into all these other dark emotions, leave the past with God. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before." Paul was living forward. Amen? This Christian life is a life that's lived looking forward. Yeah. Right? Faith is always future-oriented. The Bible tells us what you have, what do you have? You don't have to have faith. You don't have to hope for it, right? You have it. It's always looking ahead. Bad things happen in life. They do. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to Christians. Bad things happen to us. Amen? Remind yourself of God's love and goodness in spite of the difficulties. God has always been better to you and better to me than what we deserve. We deserve to be lost eternally, folks. It was honestly what people think salvation's a right. Salvation's a gift. It's not a right. Amen. Amen? Yes. Because it's freely offered, people think it's a right. It ain't your right. God freely gave you that gift, but it's still more than you deserve out of life. Well, I've done this or I've done this. No. We don't deserve the love God's shown to us. Remind yourself of our eternal reward. This life's short. Really. It blitzes by. But we got a life that has no end. And if we're experiencing the kingdom of God now, we just glide right with the same life onto eternity, leaving the problems behind. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Remind yourself that God's still working for you even in spite of the reverses and struggles, because we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purposes. Don't let the troubles and disappointments of life cause you to become self-centered. I've been on this subject for a while. We've hit this several ways and several times. But I'm telling you what, people amongst us are struggling with these very issues. And they can be fatal spiritually unless we get on top of them. Don't let the troubles and disappointments of life cause you to become self-centered. Amen?
Yes.
That's a tendency. The tendency of struggles and trouble and losses, the tendency is to cause us to be overly focused on ourselves. And there's a temptation to self-pity. Now, self-pity is a natural emotion. You can visit a little bit, but get up out of there. Because the focus on self is the life of sin. And so, the more you stay there, it's one of the trouble we have in our society today. It's so me-focused. Man, that's not a good contributor to spiritual health. 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory will be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." It says, rejoice. You're partakers of Christ's suffering. He's not saying to rejoice necessarily because of the trial, but rejoice because of your identification with Christ. If our Master suffered, are we above the Master? Do we deserve better treatment than what Jesus got? Rejoice for the purifying work that the trial can bring also, and then shake it off. Hebrews 12:12, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees, Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather it be healed. And finally, we've got to learn to explicitly trust God in everything, with everything. Shun the self-pity. Be aware of what's happening. You know, get on top of that. But the substitute for that is explicit trust in God. That means trusting God on purpose. Amen? Consciously choosing to trust God. Amen? Hey, you got the box of things you can do something about. What are we supposed to do with things we can do something about? Do what you know God would be pleased with you doing, right? Once you've done that, what happens to it? It becomes something you can't do anything about, right? Because you've already done it. Everything in the box of what you cannot do something about belongs to God. And it's our job to explicitly trust Him with it. Now, common sense would tell us this makes a whole lot of sense, right? Here we are, just mere humans, don't know much, don't have much, not much wisdom, not much resources, can't deal with it anyhow. If we had an answer, we'd already solve it, right? So we can't deal with it anyhow. We have a God who spoke everything into existence, who knows everything, the past, the present, and the future. Wouldn't you think it would make awfully good sense to let Him handle that? As our Heavenly Father, wouldn't we think that? But I tell you what, that is such a struggle for us. We hang on to those things that belong to God. Amen? Put the letters in the box and give it to Him. It's His mail, not yours. You know, if you get the neighbor's mail in your mailbox, it ain't right just to hang on to it. Give it to Him. It's not yours, it's theirs, right? That's God's stuff in that box. Give it to Him. Learn to explicitly trust Him. Faith is central to our Christian life. How we get saved? By faith, right? By faith. How do we stay saved? By faith. Amen? Faith is central to our Christian life. The just shall live by faith.
Yes.
Faith is trusting God. Amen? It's a little bit more than that, but it can be, for a lot of practical terms, it can be equated to trusting God. It's our loving, confident trust in God. Faith is trusting God with the past. Faith is trusting God with the future. And faith is trusting God with what's happening right now. Faith isn't optional to a Christian life. This is not something, well, boy, that'd be good to have. No. This is core to a Christian life. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to be pleasing to God. I don't care how many hoops we jump through or what we do. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? We've got to believe that He is the Creator, our God, our Father, our Savior, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That means God's interested in those who truly love Him and know Him. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you, 1 Peter 5:7. Bring everything to God. Instead of worrying, I have tried this week to make that even more of a reality. Because I have fears, I have concerns, more today than I started with on Monday. And we have a choice that we can wallow in it and worry about it. But if we can't do anything about it, the choice is either give it to God or keep it yourself. Right? You can twist it, you can wallow it, you can rehearse it. And all it's going to do is frustrate you and keep you from enjoying all the blessings God's given you. Or you can choose to give God what is rightfully His and trust Him to do that which is best. Amen? It says cast all your cares, not just the big ones, not just the ones we tried to solve and couldn't, but all of them, the big, little, the everyday, as well as the impossible ones. Amen? Financial, physical, emotional, spiritual, all of them. Learn to cast all of our cares and concerns on Him. Take it to Him, not just in crisis, but yes, in a crisis, but daily, throughout the day. Every situation, every decision, every fear. Get in the habit of even taking the ones you think you can handle to Him, because you don't really know. Amen? You can't cast or throw something and hang on to it at the same time. Amen?
Yes.
We need to get in the habit. Psalms 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." It's vain for you to rise up early, sit up late, and eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. This goes right back to saying, when it's, you can't do anything about it anyhow. What's the point of fretting if God, in most situations you're worried about, if God doesn't intervene, you don't have an answer anyhow. Amen? Most of the things that drag us down, if God doesn't take care of it, our efforts are futile. So what makes sense? Give it to God. Amen? Living for God is serious business. There's times it takes serious attention. We are in one of those times. But living for God requires serious attention. It's not easy to change how we think and react. But it's necessary. It's necessary for us to take a step up for our children, for our grandchildren, for our neighbors, for our fellow believers. Amen? It's necessary for us to take a step up at this serious time. We have a part to do in changing. But I'm going to tell you what, God will always do above and beyond in helping us if we're sincere in our desire to change and our effort to change. God will do more than His part. Amen? Rule your spirit. He that is slow to anger, better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit, better than he that taketh city. Let's learn to deal with our anger by giving the situation to God and letting Him deal with it as He sees fit. Romans 12:19 says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." God will, ain't nobody getting away with nothing. God will see to it that right is done in His time and in His wisdom. And if it waits to the judgment, then that's what was best, or else God wouldn't have chose that route. Amen? Learn to forgive and learn to trust God on purpose in everything. It'll help us be a better witness to those around us, but I'm going to tell you what. The biggie out of this, you won't even believe the joy of salvation that can be yours in the degree that it can be as we learn to do this more and more. What hinders our joy? Well, there's some current problems that are going to naturally hinder your joy. But most of our hindrance of joy is our own worry and fretting and anger at what's already happened. That's the real truth. Most of what keeps our spirit from really flowing with fruits of the Spirit are these things. Let's give serious attention to rising above it. In a dark day, the light shines even brighter. What's our light? The effects of salvation. Amen? We should want the effects of salvation to be on full display so people can see what God's able to do. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. May God bless you.